Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed.
Wow. I'm excited, man. I can't wait to hear what I got to say. Amen. Hey, we also want to welcome all of our live streamers, Ohio, Georgia, New Jersey, Arizona, Florida, Virginia, New York, Massachusetts, Maine, Texas, and Peru. Let's give it up for all the people that are joining us online. It's good to see everyone. What a great day to come to church. Life Change Sunday. I tell you, baptisms are one of the most amazing times for me. I'm so thankful for what God's doing in the church and in people's lives. Can we one more time just give Jesus just a big hand clap? Isn't that great? Well, if I haven't met you yet, my name is Troy. My wife and I are the senior pastors here at Freedom House. You also have great campus pastors. Stand up, Stephanie and Aaron. These are your campus pastors. So make sure you see them after the service. They'll be out in the lobby. We're always out in the lobby hanging out. My wife is at our South End campus. If you're new to Freedom House, we are one camp, one church, many different locations. We have Lake Norman. We've got South End. We're online. And we always have a live communicator at every one of our services. So make sure if you have a friend, an enemy, somebody that needs Jesus, just got out of jail, whatever, just send them to a Freedom House. And I know God will bless them in a big way. We're in a series called By His Stripes, and I was introduced to God as really a healer. Remember, if you know a little bit about my story, I grew up a good pagan. I was not a Christian until later on in life. This would be my 34th year of Christianity. I got born again in 1990, and right away, God taught me many things about his character, who he was, and one of those is that he was a healer. I grew up, and my mom, only child, single mom, so we didn't really have insurance. So going to the doctor was a big deal. And I had very bad asthma. I don't know if anybody's experienced asthma. It's a breathing issue where anything can trigger it, nerves, allergies, any of those things can trigger it. And it causes you to really have a hard time catching your breath. And so I'd be out goofing around with my friends, and I'd get really bad asthma, so much so that often I would end up having to go to the hospital. Now, this was before medicine was given for that type of thing, and they didn't know a whole lot about asthma, and so we didn't have any money, so going to the hospital was a huge deal, and they would immediately put me on some type of nebulizer or something like that in the hospital, and it cost a lot of money, and I knew that growing up. Now, when I became a Christian, however, I didn't realize how God wants to heal us of all of our sicknesses and all of our diseases. And so I was in a service much like this in 1991. This was in 1991. And we had a couple of guest speakers. The Valentines were at our church in Richmond, Virginia. I remember very, very specifically because I was sitting in the back. This was I'd never been to a church that had guest speakers. I didn't know you could have guest speakers. I didn't have any idea. And so there was a couple, and husband and wife, and man, it was electric in the room. Worship had just ended, and they both came on the platform, and they were talking, and everybody was excited. I'm like, what is everybody so excited about? And he was saying, like, hey, there's somebody in this room, and they have a knee problem. And a person would jump up like the Price is Right. Like, hey, that's me. And they'd run to the front, and then God would heal them right there on the spot. And then another person, the wife, would yell something out and go. And then they'd jump up like Price is Right, run down the aisle, and say the right price. And then, boom, they'd get healed. No, I'm just kidding. I just made that up. And so it got to a point where she said, there's somebody in this room that's been dealing with a breathing problem, asthma. And nobody jumped up. And I'm like, oh, no, she missed it right there. This is a mistake. And everything kind of stopped. Like the whole room stopped. And she kept saying, there's somebody here that has asthma. They're in this room, and God wants to heal you. And I'm thinking, who is it? This is awesome. What God's going to do to this person? And then all of a sudden, she goes, she points from the platform at me. She goes, it's you right there. God wants to heal you. And I'm like, somebody around me has asthma just like me? And I'm looking around, you know how that kind of bewildered, and she goes, no, it's you. I got out of my seat, and I'd been struggling. I was in my 20s then. I still was struggling with it. I wouldn't say that I had asthma at that moment. I wasn't breathing hard. But by the time that I walked up to the front, she didn't lay hands on me. She didn't say anything over me. By the time I hit the front row, all my lungs were completely cleared up. And from that day forward, I never had a breathing problem, never again. Isn't that fantastic? Look at your neighbor and just say, God is a healer. God is a healer. So, you know, when you think about the names of God, there are tons of names in the Bible. Names are very significant in the Bible because they describe someone's character. So when you read someone's name, it's good to get a dictionary so you can find out, what does that name mean? What does that place mean? Every place, every person, every situation, they are named specifically. For example, Jacob in the Bible was a deceiver. He was a supplanter. So when you met him and you met him, Jacob, you cover your wallet and make sure, because he was going to deceive you or do something, steal from you because he stole from his brother. That's why he was named Jacob the supplanter. So when he met God, God changed his name. You see that often in the scriptures. However, God has names. One of his names is Provider. Jehovah Jireh means that he is our provider. You can depend on him. One of his names is Jehovah Tsidkenu, which means God, my righteousness. God is all righteous. He is justice. Jehovah Shalom, God is my peace. Well, one of the names is Jehovah Rapha, which is God, my healer. Now, when you hear the name of God, it means that you can draw on the character of God at any moment in your life when you need that part of who God is. In other words, he encapsulates all those. He's righteous. And I just gave you a few. They're all through the scriptures. All through the scriptures. Now, I believe that the first mention of something is very important. There's a law, actually, when you're studying scripture. The first time something is mentioned, you can learn a lot about it. Well, the first time God is mentioned as a healer is very significant, and it happens in Exodus chapter 15. As the Israelites have just left Egypt. Okay, this is important because Egypt is a type of your salvation. It's a type of leaving an old life. So if you imagine the Israelites were delivered out of slavery, that involves their sin. What was the first stop? You remember the first stop they came to? The Red Sea. We just saw the Red Sea right here. People walk through the Red Sea. They were baptized. That was and then they come out. And the Bible says in verse 22, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now, when they had come to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter, because Marah means bitter. So there you go. There's just an example of that. Now, isn't it interesting that when they came from the Red Sea, do you remember, how many days was it? Not a trick question. It should be right behind me, I think. Maybe verse 22. 3 days. Was there ever another situation that happened in 3 days? Jesus was raised from the dead after 3 days. It says, so what are we going to do? They said, the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So he, Moses, cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him was there another person that was involved with the tree? Matter of fact, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Interesting, isn't it? See, this is what's called a 3-day miracle. This was a very significant miracle, a very significant healing, because you can't last more than 3 days without water. So this was a dire need moment, which many of us face in regards to the necessity of our healing. We need it now. This is a life or death situation. So he took the tree, he cast it in the waters. The waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them. There he tested them and said, God said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. And here we see his name, for I am the Lord who heals you. I am Jehovah Rapha. Church, you can always put your trust in God to heal you no matter what. Now, where does sickness come from? Where does disease come from? From two places, sin and Satan. Sin and Satan. Now, I know what you're thinking. That means that if I sin, God's gonna make me sick. That's not how it works. Okay, God doesn't punish you. You don't have a father like that. No, sin he's talking about here, and what sin means is mankind sinned, which opened a door for the enemy to bring sickness and disease. In other words, if Adam and Eve had never taken of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we would still be in the garden eating from the tree of life, and we would all live forever. That's why Jesus came. That's why it says in Isaiah chapter 53 that surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, talking about Jesus, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And so sickness and disease is a life taker, and God is a life giver. Don't ever believe the lie that God makes you sick because you did something wrong. That's not true. That is from the devil. And the devil wants to take you out. I've told you before, when you become a Christian, you now have a bullseye on your back. And the devil's going to do anything he can. He's going to take any opportunity to take life from you. He is the stealer, the taker, the destroyer. He wants to murder you in every way he can, by generational, everything involved in that. But it's not as a result of your specific sin. Now, it could be, but understand, sin is the entrance where sickness and disease comes. That's why God is our healer at the root. So listen to a few verses that you can build your faith on from God's perspective. Follow me. I'm going somewhere with this. Psalms 103:3, he who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases. Psalms 147, verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Jeremiah 30, verse 17, but I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 33, verse 6, nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security. In other words, you can put your faith in God's will that he is a healer. And the church said, amen. Amen. Okay. So we know God is a healer. What's my responsibility? So where do I fit into this problem? Does that mean I just can do anything I want? I can live however I want and then God will take care of it? Okay. No. Listen. Divine health is way better than divine healing. Now, that doesn't mean that God won't heal you, but when you get healed of diabetes, don't go out there and eat a cheese Danish. You follow what I'm saying? Live a divine health type of life. Decide that you have the temple, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so you have a responsibility in this whole process. You know, don't say, God, heal my heart, and then go to Kentucky Fried Chicken after church. You follow what I'm saying? Now, does that mean that God won't heal you? He will heal you. He will. He is a healer. That's his nature. That's who he is. So what is my responsibility? What part do I play? What part do we play in this? Well, I'm going to look at probably one of my favorite healings in the Bible. In Mark chapter 10, it's blind Bartimaeus. And we can learn a lot about how we or our responsibility when we look through the eyes of blind Bartimaeus. When we see Jesus the way that he saw him and how he responded to him. So if you want to follow along, Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 46, we'll go all the way down through verse 52. We're going to work through this. Take some notes, write them some things down, because what I'm going to tell you is, number one, your responsibility, and number two, how to keep your healing. So part of what this is not just I'm going to get it, but more importantly, I want to stay healed. I don't just want it now. I want to stay healed. I want to make sure that I can live the life that God intended for me to live in every way possible where Satan is not stealing from me. Are you ready for this? All right, so Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 46, it says, now they came to Jericho. Okay, what city was it? Jericho. One more time, what city? Jericho. Very important, just remember that. As he went out of Jericho, I think that's funny. Jesus didn't stay very long, like one sentence. They came to Jericho, and then he left Jericho. There's actually some significance around that. With his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, we'll just call him Bart for short, okay? So Bart, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. Okay, remember, I said earlier that names mean something. Okay, so this is the only miracle in the New Testament by which someone's name is utilized. The only miracle. Every other miracle is a young girl, a woman, a man. Now, I know what you're saying. Hold on a second. I remember Jairus. What are you talking about? Well, he wasn't the one that got healed. It was his daughter. Did we ever find out what her name was? No. We know how old she was. She was 12. But we never found out what her name was. Bartimaeus is the only person in the New Testament that was named in all four of the Gospels. Now, what does his name mean? Bar means son of. Timaeus means unclean. Now, the reason why his name is Bar or son of Timaeus is because Bart had no identity. When he was born, he was likely blind. And so his family realized the only way that people are going to be able to recognize him, because he will add nothing to society, is that he's just going to be the son of Timaeus. That's it. Now, here's the truth. The truth is sometimes that's how we feel, because of something that is holding us back in our own life. We carry no value. For Bart, he had no vision. He had no identity. And so his parents just named him son of dad, son of Timaeus. And this is sad, but God always has an answer. Isaiah 29, it says, in that day the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. So even in the midst of Bart having no vision, no identity, God showed up, Jesus showed up in Jericho, came out of Jericho on this road that was leading, and there was no identity, no vision, sitting on the side of the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He probably said it more than once. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. So he gave Jesus two specific names. He's called him Jesus and son of David. Now, if you're taking notes, write this down, because my responsibility, first of all, is to understand that my position matters. My position matters. Jesus, son of David. Now you can imagine, okay, just think for a second. You may want to close your eyes. There's this road, Jesus of Nazareth, he's healed people. Don't you think that there were a lot of people yelling out to Jesus? Okay, so why did Bart get Jesus' attention? What was it that caused him? Because he called him the son of David. The son of David was a title. It was the title of the Messiah. In other words, he was calling on the covenant that he had with God. So when I think of my position in regards to what I want from God, and this goes with anything in relation to your relationship with God, is the moment that you call on the covenant that you have. Jehovah Rapha is a covenant name. Jehovah Shalom is a covenant name. Jehovah Sitkanu is a covenant name. Jehovah Jireh is a covenant name. So if I want to partake of the covenant, then I need to address my God on the basis of a covenant. Now, this is hard for us because we don't operate in covenants. We operate in contracts. A lot of us think our marriage is a contract. As long as she does it, then I'll do it. As long as he does it, then I'll do it. If she don't do it, I'm out. I'll just find another one. Trade her in, trade him in for an updated model. Okay? That's not a covenant. A covenant, I like the way Jack Hayford says it. A covenant is a solemn promise with spiritual significance, while a contract is a legal agreement with specific terms and conditions. A contract is based on the other what the other person does. So I'm going to be responsible for my part of the contract as long as you do what you're supposed to do. That's not how a covenant works. A covenant, I made a promise regardless of what you do. Regardless of how you act. Now listen, look at me, look at me. This is how God treats you. Because let's be honest, don't raise your hand. Most of us are knuckleheads. We do not treat God like he wants to be treated, but yet he still treats us as a loving father, doesn't he? See, contracts are transactional. Covenants are relational. God never works on the basis of transaction because a transaction is based on a good or a service. If I give you this, then you'll pay me. Now, religion deals with God in those terms. Well, as long as I'm good, God's gonna love me. And his love is determined on how good I am. So as long as I'm doing okay Monday through Thursday, Friday and Saturday, I can act like a fool because Sunday, I'm gonna get it all back into good station. I'm gonna repent, get it all dealt with so that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I'm okay. Thursday, I'm gonna fall off a little bit and then I'm not that good. So that's how most people live. You go out and interview most people after church today, just interview them. And they're gonna say, the way that I get into heaven is because I'm good. That's a transaction. That is not how God sees you. If you're a dad, that's not how you see your kids. Well, as long as you're good, you'll get to eat today. No, that's not. I know it's not how you want to do it sometimes. Right? But that's not how God is. We often treat God transactionally, but he never treats us transactionally. He always treats us relational. So when Bart said, "Son of David, have mercy on me," God said, "Relationship." So he recognized Bart because Bart recognized covenant. He recognized that this is a covenant. This is, in other words, what he was saying is, "You're the Messiah and I believe in you." Amazing, amazing to think about. Now, it's very difficult to call in a covenant that you're not a part of. Now, can God do miracles? Absolutely. Does he do miracles with people who are outside of the covenant? Absolutely. But come on, I want to be in the covenant. I don't want to take any chances. So here's the deal. You can't, it's very difficult. I wouldn't say you can't. It's very difficult to go to God based on a covenant that you do not have. So I hear this all the time. A man and a woman are living together unmarried and they want God to bless their relationship. His hands are tied because that's not covenant. Are you fine? Well, but culture says, okay, now what you're doing is you're removing yourself from the covenant, which is God's word. Are you guys getting this? This is so important because we call on God and we get mad because he doesn't answer us. And we're yelling from the sidelines based on a relationship we do not have. That's why we need to stay in relationship with him. I didn't say keep doing good. I talked about staying in relationship to him because we're all sinners saved by grace. We all are gonna mess up. You're gonna mess up. Even Stephanie's gonna mess up. And she's like a little angel. She's got wings. If you touch her back, she's got wings back there. Halo in her back pocket. Now, remember, he didn't call him just by Son of David. What was the other name he used? Jesus. Remember what city he was coming out of? Jesus, transliterated, is the name Joshua. What happened to Jericho about 2,000 years prior to this moment? Joshua came with the Israelites to enter into the promised land, and they marched around the city 7 days, and on the seventh day they marched around seven times, and on the seventh time they lifted up a Bart was lifting up a, and Joshua came to set him free. Are you following me? My position matters. My position matters. Secondly, my passion matters. My passion matters. Mark chapter 10, verse 48, then many warned him to be quiet. Shut up. Don't bring attention to us. Stop. Bart. Shh. But he cried out all the more. This is when you have to make a decision. Remember, we already determined that God is a healer. Now, what is my responsibility in this matter? My position matters. I got a call on a covenant I have. My passion matters. In other words, there's always going to be an external voice and an internal voice that are telling you to shut up. Don't do it. Don't yell out. Don't draw attention, because when you draw attention, that holds accountability. And when you have accountability, that means you're responsible for it. And when you're responsible, what if he doesn't do it? What's going to happen if he doesn't show up this time? That's that external voice or people around. You got to make sure that you have the right people around you supporting your miracle that you need. Sometimes you don't need to tell everybody you need a healing. Don't tell, because some people don't want you to get it. Not directly, but indirectly. That's why we cop out and say, well, if it be thy will. Well, time out. We just discovered that it is God's will for you to be healed. It's God's will. And so there's always going to be a price to pay, a risk to take when it comes to your passion around what you want from God. It's going to cost you something. It might cost you a relationship. It might cost you a family member. It might cost you a job. It might cost you. You've got to decide, what are you willing to pay for your miracle? Because faith always has risk. Always. Anytime you step out in faith, it's always going to be a risk involved, because that's what faith is. If you knew it all the time, it wouldn't require faith. That's the gap. Faith takes up the gap between what you can see and what you can't see. And Bart, listen, he was already seeing. It just hadn't happened yet. Are you following me? That's why he was able to yell out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, because he was already looking. He was ready to see way before Jesus ever walked down that road. He just needed a little push, and he was willing to risk everything. Everything, he was willing to risk it. Our faith always involves risk. And then there's the internal voices. The internal ones are probably the most difficult ones. Those are the ones that you're afraid to really deal with. It's those voices that are calling you back to who you used to be, that you didn't deserve it. That's why we know Bart's cry was one of humility. Humility says, I'm a sinner and I deserve judgment, but I have a Father, and through his mercy he saved me. Thirdly, my position matters. My passion matters. Thirdly, my perspective matters. This is the best one. This is my favorite one right here. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. Verse 50, and throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Now understand, his garment was his livelihood, because every morning they would jockey for position around the road that they were on, so they could get the best money. So if you were at the right place, you had to be sitting in the right place. So every day, Bart would wake up and he would walk from his house to his position. He wanted to get there early, probably before the sun even came up. and he was identified by his garment. So no matter what, walking through the city, as he's walking through the city, everybody who saw him, remember, he was blind. And so in essence, he was unclean. Nobody wanted to get near Bart. And so he was blind. He would cover himself and walk down the road. And everyone, oh, that's Bart right there. There he is right there. You can see him by his garment. Not by his face, but because he would typically, most people would hide themselves as they were walking. And he would hurry to get to the right place so he could put his position down. And then remember, he couldn't see, so he's just sitting there waiting for people to throw money, where? Into his blanket. So at the end of the day, he would take up his garment, take all that he had, and then go home with it. Now, what did he do? Before he was ever healed, before his eyes were even opened, before Jesus said a word to him specifically, he stood up and he threw away his livelihood of identity before he even got healed. That's a whole different perspective. Whole different perspective. He was leaving all of his old life behind. He tossed it before the miracle happened. He did it all. I mean, it was amazing to think about. He was done being blind before he could see. You have to decide. Are you done being sick before you're healed? You got to decide. That's a whole perspective change. Well, what if I don't get it? Okay, that's not the question you need to ask. Well, what if it doesn't happen? No, that's not the question you need to ask. Because God is the healer, period. Well, what if it doesn't happen? That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is not to make it happen. Your responsibility is to be in the right position with the right passion, saying that I am healed before it even happens. Are you following me? Okay? Now listen, I'm not saying that you can confess your way into a healing. That's not what I'm saying. And I can't answer every question where it's about every person that didn't get healed. But one thing I do know is that when we step through the gates of heaven, we will never be sick again. There will never be cancer up there, diabetes, migraines, anxiety, emotional problems. And you and now what you're thinking, are you copping out, Pastor Troy? Are you saying, well, it might happen to heaven? I heard one person say, if you're willing to believe till you get there, you won't have to believe very long. Let that sink in. If you're willing to believe that when you cross those gates, and you won't have to believe very long because you trust God. You believe in him. When I first felt like I was supposed to go and preach and stuff, I got invited to this little church out in Virginia, like in the foothills of Virginia. And man, I was excited because I didn't get invited anywhere and because I was terrible. And so I had this little band called Jawbone. That's a whole nother story. And I took my band up there and we had worship and we had 3 nights. This pastor just took a risk on me and said, hey, why don't you come and do a crusade? I said, yeah, we're gonna get people healed. Okay, first night we had 35 people. It was awesome. It was fantastic. And there was this woman who was, she walked up, because at the end of every service, I was praying for the sick. And so she was like, she was like just seized up and she couldn't walk. And she would walk, she walked up like this. And I was nervous. So I was like, whew, God, you better do something for these 34 people that are watching. Because, you know, you're on the line here. I'm not. I'm going back to Richmond. This is your deal over here, okay? And she walked up, and we prayed. And by the end of our prayer, she was moving her arm, and she was walking normal just like that. And I was blown away. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is awesome. Next night, we have another meeting. I think 38 people showed up. 3 more people came. Got off work. I saw the woman. She was seized back up again, just like that. She walked right back up to me, and she said, I want to be healed. And I was confused. And I didn't say it out loud, but in my head I was thinking, yeah, but you already got healed. Prayed for her. She got free. Leg, walking normal. Everything was great. Third night, I I think we maybe had 42 people show up. And there she is again, all seized up. And as she, this was before the service, I saw her back in the back and I was like, God, what in the world is going on? I don't understand what's happening. We prayed for her twice. You healed her twice. And he said, God spoke to me and said, ask her about her disability check. I was like, what? What are you talking about? And I'm thinking, what does that have to do with anything? Now, I didn't do it in front of the whole church. I didn't pray for her that night. After the service, I pulled her into a side room with the pastor there, and she was all seized up again. And I said, you know, I prayed for you. You got healed. You felt it. You know exactly what happened. And she goes, yeah. And I said, the Lord told me to ask you about your disability check. And she said, yeah. And then the Lord opened my eyes that she didn't necessarily want to be healed, because if she got healed, she would lose her disability check. That was her garment. She wasn't willing to throw aside her garment. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I was sitting there going, this was like a pivotal point in my walk with God, because I realized that we have a Father that wants to do so much in our lives, but yet we can put out our hand to Him for the sake of the change that the healing may actually require. Changed everything. The last thing is my prayer matters. My position matters, my passion matters, my perspective matters, and my prayer matters. Verse 51, so Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? I read that for a lot of years going, come on, Jesus, he was blind. I mean, he wants to see, obviously. Why did he say that? Why does Jesus constantly ask a question that really just doesn't need an answer? Listen to me, look at me. The reason why is because he's drawing faith out of us. He's pulling faith out of us. He was asking Bart, do you really want to see? Like, do you really want to see? Is this the prayer that you want me to answer? Are you willing? You called on the covenant. You're definitely passionate about this. You've decided. Now define your request with me. And that's the prayer we have to pray. Remember, guys, we're talking about my responsibility. So Jesus was saying, I want you to be specific on what you want me to do for you. Specific. Be specific. Church, if you know the miracle you want, be specific with God. Get a promise from God and remind Him of the covenant that you have with Him. Not based on anything that we did, but based on everything of who He is. And that's the God that we serve. And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. I think one of the best books on prayer is Mark Batterson's book, The Circle Maker. And here's what he says. He says, if faith is being sure of what we hope for, then being unsure of what we hope for is the antithesis of faith. Well-developed faith results in well-defined prayers. And well-defined prayers result in well-lived life. I believe God's going to heal some people today. I really believe it. Not because of Troy, not because of a great worship team, not because we had baptisms, but because God is Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer. So I want you to stand up on your feet. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. In other words, go your way, your faith has saved you. Your faith has made you whole. And immediately, that's what I'm believing for today, immediate healings today. He received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. If you have a covenant with God, let's deal with that first today. Let's make sure that you have a covenant with God, that you can actually cry out, Son of David. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? If you need healing in your body, let's make sure that you have a relationship with Jesus. What does that mean? The Bible declares very clearly that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died and was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. In other words, you will come into a relationship, not a transaction, but a relationship with the Heavenly Father who will save you from your sin, secure your place in heaven, and every promise in the Bible is yes and amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want that. So with everybody looking around and everybody with their head up, if you want that relationship with Jesus, if you do not have that relationship or you are unsure of that relationship, I'm gonna count to three. When I get to three, just raise your hand. You ready? One, two, three, just raise your hand. You're unsure of that relationship. I wanna make sure that I have a, thank you. I wanna make sure that I have a covenant with God, that Jesus is my Savior, is my Lord. Let's deal with that first. Church, pray this out loud. Say, Heavenly Father. Come on, say it loud enough so you can hear with your own ears. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that His blood washes me of all my sins and all my mistakes. Today, I give you my life. I will worship you and I will serve you all the days of my life. Jesus, I believe that you will raise from the dead so I can start over. I have a covenant with you, God. I have a relationship with you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give God a big hand clap for that. All right. Now, I want to pray. We're going to pray for some people today. Believe God. We're going to believe the covenant. If you need healing in your body, pain, you can't see, you can't hear. This morning when I was praying, I saw people's hearing getting healed today. Somebody's been deaf in their left ear. God's going to heal your ear. Chronic pain, I want to pray for you. Now, I'm not the healer. I'm not the one. No. I don't want that responsibility. No, God is the healer. If you have a position with Him, let's see what kind of passion you have. Are you going to stay in your seat today and just go, oh, well, you know, He'll take care? No. There's nothing too small and there's nothing too big. There's nothing too small and there's nothing too great that God can't handle. He created you. He can heal you. The power of God is in this room right now to heal you. I sense His presence in this place. If you need healing for anything, We've just got a couple minutes. We're going to pray for some people. If that's you, I want you to step out of your seat right now. I want you to come to this altar. And we're going to have some leaders come and pray for you. You need healing for anything. Cancer, diabetes, heart problems, back pain, migraine headaches, anxiety, sleep apnea, problem sleeping. I believe God's going to heal you. And as you come, just close your eyes. Define your prayer right now. God, I believe that you are my healer. God, I believe that you are Jehovah Rapha. I'm helping you right now, just giving you some things that you can speak out to God. God, I believe that you are my healer. God, I put pressure on the covenant that I have with you. Jesus, Son of David, come and heal my body, heal my vision, heal my hearing, heal my deafness, heal my heart disease, heal my diabetes, heal my chronic pain, heal my anxiety. God, I receive it immediately. I am throwing off my old life and I receive it right now in Jesus' name. Just speak that over yourself right now. I receive it, I receive it, I receive it, I receive it right now. God, heal people. Right now. of Jesus.
All over my life.
Now just lift your hands up to heaven. Just lift your hands up.
Thank you, Jesus.
Begin to thank Him for it right now. Begin to thank Him for it right now. Just begin to thank Him. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm healed. You might even want to say, when I walk from this place, when I walk out of this auditorium today, I'm healed. I'm not going back to that old life. I'm throwing that garment aside. I'm a new person. I receive my healing. I receive a miracle from God. Don't let any external voice, don't let any internal voice talk you out of the miracle that's happened right now. Right now. Jesus said, it's your faith. It's your faith. It's your faith. It's your faith. And that's the God we serve. It's your faith that made you well. It's your faith. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Can we give God a big hand clap?